hello and welcome to Walking Movies. This has been the hardest episode for me to record ever, because I've had nothing but technical difficulties. I've been trying a new setup and it's not been working. I can't figure it out, but here I am. And as you can tell, if you're watching this, not so much if you're listening to this on a podcast, but I'm recording this at home. I'm recording it 24 hours after I tried to record this the first time, because the sound quality was just not good. So here I am again, trying to record this review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So normally what I would do is I would record an intro on the way to the movies, then I would give you my thoughts after seeing the film. That's how this normally works, right? But I saw this film last night with
my wife
and my daughter. And so because of that, I didn't record an intro on the way there. And didn't record once I left the cinema. To be honest, we hadn't had anything to eat. So we actually went and got some food and then came back. At which point I then recorded my thoughts. But as I said, the sound quality was so bad, I had to record it again. I've not gone back and listened to what I said 24 hours ago. I think my feelings are kind of the same. But yeah, so Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it's a sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which came out in 2021 and was the first attempt at doing a direct sequel to Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2. There was, of course, I think it was 2016's Ghostbusters Answer the Call, which was the female reboot of Ghostbusters, which was despised by a lot of people. But not this guy. I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was fine. It made me laugh enough. That's all I wanted. So, you know, when Ghostbusters Afterlife came out, there was a lot of hype around it. It did well at the box office, obviously. Sony wanted to capitalize on that. And here we are with the sequel to that film. Going into this film, I'd heard a lot of negativity. I'd seen reviews. I hadn't read any of the reviews that were out there, but I'd seen the reviews. 3 out of 5s, 2 out of 5s. Not great scores. And, you know, I'd seen a teaser trailer for this months ago, and it didn't blow me away, I'll be honest. But I enjoyed Afterlife, and so, you know, I still wanted to see this film. And that's kind of where I was. So on the lead up to this film, so on the Friday night, we rewatched Ghostbusters Afterlife to kind of get us all back up to speed. We'd all seen the film before, but we hadn't seen it for a while. And if you're going to go into a sequel, it's good to make sure you're fresh. So that's what we did. What I would say, and I can't remember what I said when I reviewed Ghostbusters Afterlife a few years ago, but I've seen it now 3 or 4 times and I still enjoy it, but I think my enjoyment has kind of waned a little bit each time I've seen it. Like, it's still good, but I don't think I've enjoyed it as much on those subsequent rewatches as I did on that first one. So, you know, it was good to catch up, but, you know, hearing what I'd heard about the film and then my own feelings after rewatching Afterlife again, I didn't go into this with the biggest of expectations. But what did I think of the film? That's what you're here for, right? So let me tell you. Okay, so let's get down to it. Did I enjoy Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? The answer to that is yes. And that appears to be quite a controversial take. there's not a lot of people that I know that have seen it. The people that I know have seen it, mostly been positive. But not everyone liked it as much as I did. Some people just thought it was okay. But I did really enjoy it. It's flawed. It is flawed, I will say that. But I enjoyed it more than I was expecting to, and that's always a good thing to go into a film. You know, I had the opposite with Drive Away Dolls, right? You know, I went into that film really looking forward to it, bitterly disappointed. With this, it was the other way around. I wasn't really hopeful going into it. I did think it was going to be good, but I ended up enjoying it more than I thought I would, and that's a surprise. You know, there's pros and cons of the film. Let's talk about some of the things that I don't think worked. So, the film is a tad under 2 hours, which is a good length for a film. You know, you don't want it to be too long. Afterlife was just over 2 hours. Fine. But this one's just under. Weirdly, or interestingly, depending on how you want to look at it, both my daughter and wife felt that this was too long, which I thought was interesting, especially as it was actually shorter than the film we just watched. But they did feel that pacing-wise, it, you know, left a little bit to be desired. And I understand what they mean. Like, the first hour of the film is a bit slow. It starts off well. It starts off quite action-packed. Bit of a jump scare. I would say as well that this is probably the most scary Ghostbusters film. I mean, it's still very kid-friendly, but some of the ghosts you see in this film are, you know, quite scary looking, and there's a few jump scares. But the first hour, you know, there is a lot of plot. It takes a while to ramp up. But I think after it gets past the hour mark, I think it, you know, the last hour of the film does really kick up a notch. So, you know, that's something that people have had a problem with. It didn't bother me as much as it bothered the other people that I was watching it with, but I understand it. I get it. Everyone's back from Ghostbusters Afterlife. So McKenna Grace, Finn Wolfhard, Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd. They were like the kind of main characters in that first film, really. And also you've got some of the other returning characters that we saw in the last film. So Lucky and Podcast are back. Podcast is the one that's changed the most, by the way. Not to the point where he's unrecognisable, but you really notice how much he's aged in those subsequent years, whilst everyone else kind of looks the same, which was, I thought was interesting. It's puberty, right? But also, you know, we've got the returning Ghostbusters, the OG Ghostbusters that we also saw in Afterlife. So, you know, we do have Dan Aykroyd. We do have Bill Murray. We do have Ernie Hudson. We do have Annie Potts, which is good. You know, it's nice. I think the problem people have with these films, certainly the Ghostbuster community that I see pop up on my Facebook page. I mean, there's multiple groups. I'm not in these groups. I'm just saying they sponsored ads, whatever. But a lot of them complain it's not the same as the original film. Why should it be? Is my argument, my counter argument to that. Because, you know, Ghostbusters is 40 years old this year, right? It's coming up to the 40th anniversary. And, you know, what Sony are trying to do, I think, is they're trying to make a Ghostbusters for a new generation. We saw this with Star Wars. You know, we've seen this to an extent with Marvel, but, you know, this is what happens with films. Like, they try and cater for a new audience all the time, because the people in their 40s and 50s who were watching Ghostbusters when they were, like, kids or in their teenage years, they're not the ones going to the cinema as much anymore. They're the ones that want to sit at home and catch stuff on streaming. Sony are trying to, I think at least, are trying to appeal to a more family audience, and also just give them something different to what was there before, while still feeling familiar. You know, these Ghostbuster films still feel to me like Ghostbusters. But it is a new generation. It's a new, you know, we're now looking at the grandkids and the kids of Egon that are now Ghostbusters. And, you know, I think that's a wise move. you know, what these films try to do for me is they try and balance appealing to a new generation whilst also having things in there for the original fans of Ghostbuster films. Look, a few years ago, so probably when she was about seven, eight, I got Alice to watch the first Ghostbusters film. She didn't really care for it, but she loved Afterlife, you know? Because that film hits different for different demographics. You know, the original Ghostbusters film was a complete flash in the pan. No one expected it to be a big hit. It was a load of, you know, cast members of Saturday Night Live as the leads. Not really proven box office draws. You know, a relatively small budget. That's what happened. Like, Ghostbusters launched a franchise, but no one expected it to. It was a little engine that could. And because it was based on, you know, comedians being in the lead roles, then everything since has kind of not been the same. And that's one of the things that I felt that Ghostbusters Answer the Call got right in that regard. You know, you actually had, was it three or four cast members Saturday Night Live in the lead roles in that film? You know, they tried to encapture that spirit of the original Ghostbusters as much as they possibly could, just with women. So for all its other faults, you know, they did try and, you know, recapture some of that magic they'd done the first time round. Whether it worked or not is, you know, a different argument. But that's what I think they're trying to do with these films. And some people, you know, I know a guy who is, you know, extremely into Ghostbusters. He really enjoyed this film. But then I see other Ghostbusters fans, like, say, oh, it's awful, it's woke, whatever. I think they're doing a good job, but obviously not everyone agrees. In this film as well, we've got some new additional cast members. The ones that I think had the biggest impact were Kumail Nanjiani and also James Acaster. Kumail Nanjiani kind of plays a very integral role to the film because it's an object that his character sells to Ray that is the kind of MacGuffin of the film. And he's also, you know, kind of the focus is down on him to try and work out, you know, where it come from, how he got hold of it, and all these things, because it had a really bad ghostie in there. James Acaster plays a member of like an extended Ghostbuster team. So one of the things that I think this film does quite well is it expands on things that we learn in Afterlife about, you know, Winston. After the Ghostbusters disbanded, he went off, become very successful in business. And what he's been doing is he's been keeping things kind of like ticking over in the background. And what he's got is a whole team of people that are trying to not catch ghosts, but are trying to, you know, expand upon what we already know about them and also contain them, make sure they don't escape. So that element of it was really interesting, which I don't think was really kind of fleshed out because of the short running time. But he's a member of that team. He's really good. He had a couple of really funny lines. They were probably the two funniest people in the film. I think they had a lot of the good kind of comedy lines. The OG Ghostbusters, it is, you know, had some, you know, singers and whatever, but they were the ones that really stood out for me. And I would happily see them again if there's a third film, which I'm sure Sony would like there to be. But obviously, the box office decides that one, I guess. I thought the special effects were really good. I think in the trailer, they didn't look as good as they did in the final film, which is something that happens. And it's the problem sometimes when you release trailers too early, if you're still kind of working on stuff and you kind of release stuff that's not finished, can give you a bad impression. But overall, I think it was good in that regard. I think the main villain of the film, was really good, really quite intense and scary. You definitely felt the peril in the film as well. And I think that was, you know, a good job by Gil Keenan, even, who was the director of this film. Jason Reitman, who directed the last one, wrote this one and was an executive producer but didn't direct this one. But yeah, I think he did a pretty good job. It reminded me of like an episode of the Ghostbusters cartoon, weirdly. Just the kind of the dynamic in it, I think, did that. And one of the problems that I know that people will have with this is that, you know, a lot of the main story is focused on the Spengler family, is focused on, you know, the trials and tribulations, and some of that probably goes on a little bit too long. I enjoyed it still. Like, I didn't mind that they were doing that, but I can certainly see why some people might get a bit funny about it. And I'll tell you something that happened on my way out, which was hysterical in a bit. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I think what I would like to see, though, in the next film is some more definition of what they want to do. Because in Afterlife, it was them finding out that, you know, Egon was a Ghostbuster, or, you know, the kids found out their estranged granddad was a Ghostbuster. They, you know, inherited this house that was in the middle of, like, the apocalypse waiting to happen for ghosts, and had to kind of, like, get on board with, you know, what they were almost destined to become. This film doesn't really carry that much further forward in a lot of ways. And, you know, one of the big plot lines of the film is to do with the fact that Phoebe Spengler, who is, you know, the one most like Egon, is also the youngest, and at an age where she should be in school, not busting ghosts. This film takes place in the summer holidays, which is how they get away with a lot of the plot points in the film, and why characters in New York, which they where they shouldn't be, and etc. etc. But yeah, so I'm hoping with the next film, it will be she's now an adult and she can not worry about her age being a factor anymore. And I'd also kind of like to see a separation from what we're getting right now with the, you know, these two Ghostbuster films, which is I love seeing, you know, Ray and Peter and Winston. You know, that's all great, but at some point they have to kind of step back. They're still too involved in these films, in my opinion. They shouldn't be putting on boiler suits anymore. You know, and that's just because I think there needs to be more of a distinction. I don't think they shouldn't be in any more Ghostbuster films, but I think you need to let the next generation do that. And also as well, how this film is set up, you know, the Spenglers and Gary Gooberson, they are the new Ghostbusters, as it were. And in the last film, you know, we had Podcast, we had Lucky introduced to her friends of the kids, and, you know, they were also involved. And they don't really get involved in that way in this film. And I think the real dynamic should be them being the main four, and, you know, Carrie and Gary kind of stepping back and not being quite involved in the actual busting, like let the younger kids do it. That's what I think should happen. Whether or not it does or not, I don't know. You know, one other thing I would say about this film is there are quite a lot of things going on. I did not find it hard to pay attention to what was going on, but I do appreciate that, you know, some things didn't lead into much, if that makes sense. You feel like the story's been taken in one direction and then it kind of doesn't, kind of stops and doesn't get looked back on. But I wanted a fun summer kind of blockbuster, and that's what I got. You know, I enjoyed it more than I expected to, and that's the main thing, right? When you see a film like this. But before I give my score, yeah. So we're sitting there waiting for the film to finish. Like the film's finished, the credits have started to roll. There's a mid-credit scene. I was checking on my phone to see is there anything at the end of the film, because there was last time. There wasn't, so it's like, okay, you know, we can start sorting ourselves out and go if you want. And as we're doing that, this guy walks across us from further down the aisle with his, you know, poor partner in tow, and he's going, yeah, like, I enjoyed it, but it'd be much better if they didn't have an agenda. Why have these films always got to have an agenda? I laughed out loud, really too loudly. I did think he might turn around and try and lamp me or something. But I'd like to have had a discussion with him about that, if he did. Not about the lamping, but about the comment about every film having an agenda. Because, yeah, doesn't everything have an agenda? Films have an agenda? What you say? There's an agenda behind that? Like, what do you mean? It's got agenda. I think there's one story part in the film which I think he might... we were talking about this afterwards, because, like, you know, I found it funny as well, about what he could have meant. And we think we know, but I think that's only if you interpret it that way. You know, I'm not going to spoil what it is. You know, when you see it, when you see a scene that might allude to that, you can make your own judgments. But according to the actual makers of the film, it's not the case anyway. So that's if you interpret something in that way, then yeah, you can say that's a weird choice or whatever, but yeah, that wasn't the intention of it. And I didn't pick up on it, because I didn't think that was it either. Very, very strange. Yeah, so that made me laugh. Anyway, look, scores. Right. I remember what I gave it last night, and I've had time to ponder on it, but I think I'm going to give it the same score. I'm going to give it a 7, because I did really enjoy it. It is flawed, but, you know, overall, I think it's a good film. And, you know, it's not a bad way to kick off the summer blockbuster season. You know, there were laughs, there was action, there was suspense, there was some jump scares. You know, almost what more do you want? A few more jokes, probably, and a more streamlined story. I would say that I do wonder how much of that film has been edited down. What was the original cut? Was it 2.5 hours? Because, as I said, there were things that kind of went nowhere, and I wonder why. I'm sure they filmed stuff for it, but look, overall, I'm happy. Do I want to see a third one? Absolutely. Keep banging these films out. You know, I don't see any reason why not. You know, there have been franchises like Jurassic Park World, where that's definitely been the case. There's been some diminishing returns. Men in Black was another one, but the franchise was all over the place. I think with these films, generally they're fine, they're good, and I enjoy them, so keep them coming. You know, that's all I ask. Should you go and see it? Yeah, why not? If you don't like Ghostbusters already, this film's not going to change your mind. But if you like the last one especially, then this is a good one. I actually think, and I've only watched it once, so it's hard for me to say this for sure, but I do think I actually enjoyed this one a bit more than Afterlife. As I said, there was things in Afterlife which, on initial viewing, really kind of got me. On subsequent watches, not quite so much, because the surprise element's gone. With this film, you don't get anything like that, I don't think. And I think it's better for it overall. You know, I completely agree with why they went in that direction. But, yeah, I'm glad they didn't in this one as well. So, yeah, 7 out of 10. I do recommend it. I did enjoy it. This is a perfect example of where you look at the scores from critics, you look at scores on social media, and it doesn't always correlate. Now, you might go and see this film and not enjoy it, you know, and that's fine. You know, I'm not saying that you're mad if you hated it, or you're wrong if you didn't like it. But for me, it worked. And this is why I think it is always, it's good to listen to people's opinions, but you've got to make your own choice. And this is a perfect example of that. So, yeah. Ghostbusters, thumbs up. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, out now, and will be for the next few weeks. But it is the start of the summer season. Like I said, we've got some big films coming out in the UK. Later this week, we've got Kung Fu Panda 4. We've also got Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. A few weeks after that, we've got the new Planet of the Apes film. We've got The Fall Guy coming out a few weeks after that. films are starting to ramp up now. So it'll be interesting to see how well this film does. I think, as I recall this, it's Sunday night, so the box office totals aren't in. They were expecting this film to open up around the early to mid $30 million mark in America. It's looking to open around 40, 45. So it's doing better than they were anticipating originally. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks to see if that momentum continues. So I really hope it does, because I don't think the criticism of this film is deserved, even if it does have an agenda. So look, thank you very much for watching this. If you did watch it, please like and subscribe to the channel. There's lots of new content coming out. I'm just trying to work out what's working, what isn't working. These reviews will stay, but I've got some other things that I've been working on and some stuff that hasn't come out yet, which will be coming out next month that I'm excited about. But yeah, thank you for your support. And until next time, remember that Flynn lives.